We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's Uncle Silk.
It's the All-American, 35.
And the always dapper Dan.
How y'all feeling on this Sunday afternoon? We usually record on a Monday, but we got national championship tomorrow, so we're going to record on a Sunday night. How y'all boys feeling?
Well, I'm good, man. I'm good. I saw the Texans lost today, and I thought it was up, what, 21-0?
Yeah,
24-9. Yeah. Oh, I fell asleep, bro, and I woke up and the boys lost by 20. I don't know how that happened. how you go up like that by 20, bro?
Hey. Yeah, I never thought the game was over. And not with the Chiefs offense and Mahomes, man. They're explosive, so that game was never over by any stretch.
All right, but I don't think it was over. But you still don't get beat by 20 when you up like that, bro. Like, but, you know, no,
Dude, it was a wild game. The beginning of the game was wild. The way that the Texans were able to score, you know, you had the blocked punt, you had some other, punt was that? But then on the flip side, it happened to the Texans too with the Chiefs. So it was just a really weird first half. I was watching the game with a friend of mine that's from Kansas and is a big Chiefs fan. And to watch his emotional roller coaster for a while was fun to see, but because I don't have a rooting interest, I just want to see good football. So it was a hell of a game, and congratulations to Mahomes. I was hoping to see a Mahomes Lamar Jackson final, but it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah, shout out to the Tennessee Titans, man. Derrick Henry is an animal, and they're made for the playoffs. And I don't want to see one more tweet about Muschamp and Derrick Henry. Can we let that die already?
It's over.
Yeah, let that die.
What I think is crazy is that I think Derrick Henry would be just as good of a linebacker in the NFL.
If not better. He may have made more money.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a hell of a freak athlete. And Will Muschamp would have turned him into an unbelievable linebacker, too. So it's an old story. We don't even know if it's 100% true or if, Florida said you couldn't play running back. So we'll let that one die. Congratulations to him and the Tennessee Titans and to former Miami Dolphin great Ryan Tannehill leading the team on 7-14 passing for 88 yards.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So what you think it was, Dan? Was the coaching
definitely
bad?
The Dolphins franchise. The entire franchise is bad all the way down from the owner all the way to the college team that they rent their stadium.
I mean, yeah, that too. But I mean, yeah, really lightning. Per se, lighten it up, Dan. I mean, Derrick Henry's.
He's doing what he has to do. I was doing a little tongue in cheek there, but he has the number one passer rating in the NFL since he took over from Marcus Mariota. So I don't know if it was just the players. I don't know if you have an unbelievable player like a Derrick Henry or a game changer at running back that it allows the defense obviously to completely change, but. During his time, with the Dolphins, they never really had consistency. They never had great ownership. They never had a lot of weapons. And he's making it work over there. So we'll see if it's long-term and sustainable. But I'm excited to see two new teams that we don't get to see very often in Tennessee and in Kansas City instead of your same, New England Patriots and stuff like that every year.
Yeah.
Most definitely. But we want to talk about national championship a little bit. It's tomorrow. And outside of Dabble crying, man, I've been excited about this game. I'm getting tired of Dabble crying in the media every day. That's getting a little annoying, but I'm excited about this this national championship game. I think it's going to be one of the best ones that we've seen in a minute.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I want to talk Dabo after this is over, though. But.
No, I was just going to say the same thing, man. I think when they won their first national championship, everybody was like, oh, you know, he's cool. He's, you know, he's humble. You know, but now it's just like, man, this dude is going to whine about every little thing in the media. He always got some shit to complain about. It's just it's one thing after the next. Bro, y'all not the underdogs anymore. Like, stop trying to play that role. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's trying to just hype his team up or, what are you trying to do?
He's trying to take that approach, but it's getting whiny. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. He kind of just needs to sell that to, like, you poke it here and there in the media, but you need to just keep that attitude in your locker room. It's just getting whiny in the media, bro. I'm a little exhausted of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't I think I have a slightly different take. I think it's annoying. And I'm actually curious more than anything. I'm actually taking more neutral position. I'm curious to see how his players respond because he's obviously doing it enough where his players, he's doing it for the players. Like, he's not doing it because he actually cares about what he's saying. He's doing it to hype up his players. And I don't know if he is struggling to get through to them. I don't know if they don't realize the gravity of the situation. I don't realize if he's just annoyed by, you know, how often he has to talk about it. But, you know, the game is in Louisiana, it's in New Orleans, and that's just an unfortunate fact of it, right? You know, unfortunately, I hate to give him credit, but, you know, TJ yesterday on the timeline said that, you know, all three Florida, you know, teams that have won national championships have done it in the state of Florida, and we've never really heard the amount of complaining. So I understand, you know, what he's saying. I think it's old and annoying, and, you know, at the end of the day, it is where it is. You're playing for the national championship, and you have to be ready to play. But I think the disrespect piece is old. That's the only part to me that's a little whiny.
We just knew before the year started what the national championship was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened. Come on, bro. Like, you got, like, they just automatically just made this up 2 weeks ago.
I never saw the video clip. Was he actually, like, complaining? Was it more of a tongue-in-cheek type of deal where he's kind of laughing it off? I mean, that's the biggest thing to me is, you know, I think when we read things just on the internet, sometimes we take, you know, the tone of everything. And I don't know if Dabo was, you know, saying it like, oh, shucks, you know, it's, you know, instead of playing in Baton Rouge, you know, or playing in New Orleans, you know, similar, I think he said, this would be like us playing a game in Greenville. Like, you can kind of laugh about that and joke about it without it being as big of a deal and not sounding whiny. I just don't know, you know, what his, you know, what the actual video is like or what the actual audio is like. You know, but Clemson's not getting disrespected. But, you know, at some point in time, they've got to say something. And if you guys were a coach, what would you say?
I mean, it definitely wouldn't be that. I mean, he got, what, number one recruiting class and stuff? It's just like,
yeah,
we got to come out here and play. I mean, if I got to say too much and get a lot of hoopla and rah-rah.
You see, I would take a different approach.
Yeah, you got to take
We're repeating. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole approach he's taking, I mean, they may very well win the game, but I think the approach he's taking of, like, this underdog thing when you're the repeat champions, like, you're going back to defend your title. So you're not the underdogs here. It's not like I think he should talk to his team like, we supposed to be here. This ours. Like, let's go do what we do. Take care of business. But to me, he's just taking this underdog approach. I just think that's just what he's used to. You know, like, he's been doing it his whole career. He's an underdog coach. That's his calling card. So he's just doing what he do.
Yeah, are they the underdog? I think they are. They're a couple points.
6 points.
Yeah. So they are the underdog, and, you know, there's a reason that they probably, you know, are. You know, they played Ohio State well, but outside of that, they didn't really play anybody. I don't think they played anybody that was ranked during the entire season until they got to even in the ACC championship. Virginia wasn't ranked. So, or were they? I don't know. But anyway, long story short, they are, you know, a little bit of the underdog, but I think it gets old. The only reason that, you know, they didn't play any ranked teams this year is because their schedule sucked, that they probably scheduled 5 years ago, and the rest of the ACC is trash. So, you know, I think for him, you know, it's obviously a message that the players respond to, and they had a big win. You know, I don't think a lot of people thought they would have had over Ohio State last week, and, you know, or 2 weeks ago, whenever that game was, it seems like forever ago. But, you know, I'm curious to see how they do against a team like LSU. And, you know, there's a reason LSU is getting all the credit in the world. I'm just not as turned off by some of his comments, but as it seems some of the other guys are. But
this game, I think, probably got the best quarterback play of a national championship in a long time as well. And I think, like, whoever plays the better game is going to win it. And I think Joe Burrow is that guy. But Trevor Lawrence is just as capable, man. He's very good, and he could very well put Clemson on his back and win the game. What you got, Dan? Who you think wins it?
Yeah, no, I think LSU is going to win by maybe a touchdown, maybe 10 points. You know, I think, like you said, so this is probably the best, you know, quarterback matchup that we've had probably since maybe, you know, 08 when Bradford and Tebow going up against each other, you know, two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. I just think that LSU is just playing so well. They've played so well all season. They've not really had any hiccups. They just seem to be the dominant program. And I think with, you know, 2 weeks off and, you know, getting their running back, you know, back to full health and the way Joe Burrow's been playing, I think it's going to be tough. I think Clemson's going to keep it tight. I take that back. I think LSU is going to come out to a pretty, you know, big lead, you know, maybe 14, 17 points. I think, you know, Clemson might, you know, bring it off a little bit closer, you know, towards the end of the game. But I like LSU to win.
Ahmad, what's your prediction on this game?
You know, I'm going with LSU for the simple fact that I've seen they've been battle tested, and not saying that, you know, Clemson's not capable of winning the game. So you already know any given Saturday or Sunday or whatever day you're playing on, a team can lose a game. But, you know, I'm going with these guys because not only that, you know, I've seen them beat some good quality teams, but, you know, it's just something about those guys, you know, they got a little swagger about them that, you know, once they get ahead, man, it's just hard to even just you know, stop them from scoring and come back and keep up. So if Clemson, you know, isn't ready for a shootout, then they're going to get boat raced. But, you know, I think it'll be, you know, somewhat close, but I think LSU will come out on top.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. Like I said, I think it's going to be, I think they win by two scores, 10 to 14 points at least. It could get out of hand. LSU just hasn't ever been a team this year that has started slow. Every game they come out the gate scoring points. And I've seen Clemson, even last game, just start slow. And Ohio State didn't put them away, but LSU, the type of team that'll put you in the way. They're gonna finish in the red zone. I just don't see – I don't think Clemson, they back blacks. I don't think they battle tested. I don't think they're ready. They have to score every drive. We'll see, though. Scores? Y'all think they get in the 40s?
Y'all think No, I don't think no 40 burgers.
Over under is 68. What do you think?
Oh, I think under.
Under 68?
No, nah, I think they'll go over 68. I think they go over 68. But,
yeah.
I don't think they go 40.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the over.
I think there's going to be a lot of points scored this game. I think I don't think it's going to be a really strong defensive matchup. You know, you might see LSU, you know, do a little bit better there, but, you know, I think that this game might be more of that, like, LSU-Texas game, or, you know, you even saw it with, you know, Clemson and Ohio State. They can put up points. They're going to allow points, but it's just going to matter who's going to be able to get, you know, a couple of those key stops. And, you know, if I'm a betting man, I put my money on LSU to get those stops. But I like this game to be, you know, in the high 30s to low to mid 40s. So,
yeah. Likewise.
I hope so. I just want a good game that's fun to watch. I would rather watch a national championship, unless it's two unbelievably good defenses, which LSU's not. I'd rather watch a, you know, 42-36 game than I would a 9-3 game.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. That's how, like, the good folks at Georgia Pecan before we get into some Florida Gator stuff.
Absolutely. As always, we're going to give a shout-out to our friends over at South Georgia Pecan Company. Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm sure there's some other holidays that are coming up, but give them a call. Oh, you know, maybe New Year's resolution.
Hey,
maybe
trying to. I kind of holler at them about a Valentine's Day little
there you
day
go.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, I got to figure out something, man.
That's right. Yeah, oh. Yeah. you can have a Valentine's Day that's a nuts and nuts special. Anyway, give a call to South Georgia Pecan Company. It's 800-732-2646. Maybe your New Year's resolution was to lose a little bit of weight, maybe eat a little healthier, and you want to get onto pecans, walnuts, all that kind of stuff. Give them a call. GeorgiaPecan.com or 800-732-2646. So take us away.
Hey, you're a wild man, man.
Marketing genius. That's all.
So the media has been on our bandwagon lately. I don't know what it is, man. Over the summer, we caught a lot of flack from the media, but the games got played, and now the media is raving about us. Some playoff predictions. Bleacher Report had us top seven. There's a lot of Urban Meyer said we're the team to watch in 2020. Daniel, what's up?
Yep.
What's the vibes?
Yeah, I know. And an Athlon ranked us number seven, I think, as well. So I think a lot of teams are very impressed with Dan Mullen for obvious reasons. You know, I think returning Kyle Trask, you know, the development and growth potentially of Emory Jones, you know, the return of a number of key players, your Trevon Grimes, you know, as well as the development of an offensive line that should be adding some additional pieces, but also, you know, just through development. I think that this speaks volumes of Dan Mullen and his ability to build a program on, you know, a program that was very broken just three seasons ago. I don't know if Florida can be in the college football playoff next year, but I also don't see how they can't be in the college football playoff. And what I mean by that is this is truly a year where the SEC East is going to go through some potential reshuffling. Georgia seems to have a player transfer, you know, seemingly every other day now. You know, while the recruiting class is good, there's definitely a lot of question marks at, you know, the quarterback position. And I know that they got the Wake Forest quarterback transfer in, and I think that he's a hell of a prospect. I don't think he's a hell of a prospect for Georgia and for the offense that Coley runs with Smart. So I'm really curious to see how that whole situation pans out. But, you know, I think that Florida is returning a lot of those tools to be in the SEC East or in the SEC Championship and representing the SEC East. This is truly a year where Florida needs to be able to capitalize on, you know, some deficiencies, you know, amongst some of the other programs. Their schedule lines up really nicely. Their West Coast, you know, schedule, you know, lines up nicely, you know, in the SEC. So I think that a lot of teams a lot of the folks in the media are seeing that. But, you know, if anything, it speaks to a testament of what Dan Mullen's been able to put out on the field and where their growth trajectory is.
Lots of hype. I'm feeling it. But, Ahmad, what do you think Dan's going to do to keep these guys humble and working hard this offseason to offset some of this hype?
I mean, you just got to understand what's at stake. And, you know, we still talk about this Gator Standard that everybody, you know, loves to scream out and talk about what it, you know. Is the standard going 11-2 and going to the Orange Bowl, or is the standard getting to Atlanta and winning the national championship? So if you're satisfied with what we've been, you know, doing lately, I mean, yes, we've been progressing, but have we got back ultimately to where we really need to be? You get what I'm saying? And I don't think it's getting to the Orange Bowl, New Year's Six Bowl every year is where we want to be. I mean, it's a good place to be, but I mean, ultimately, I think we need to get to Atlanta. You know, shuffle some things around, you know, try to get to the Final Four somehow, some way next year and ultimately get back to the Gator Standard that we talk about, not just being satisfied in the New Year Six. So I just think that, you know, Mullen, you know, has to have these guys realize what's at stake, you know, and if I got to motivate you too much to want to be a national champion, then what are we doing?
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, man. Shout out to Ty Grantham. He's going to be back one more year as of now. I thought him coming back is that's like the hype we're getting is why I wanted Ty Grantham back. I think the schedule set up for us. I think Georgia's set up for us. I think like the East is ours for the taking. And I didn't want to learn a new DC. I didn't want a new guy to come in and mess up our energy and chemistry.
Right.
So let's run this thing back one more time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whatever happens after next year, I'm cool with. Like a ride with. But let's run this thing back one more time, man. Because the schedule's set up, man. We got the best quarterback in the SEC. You know, mm-hmm. we went from who going to throw the ball to we got the best quarterback in the league, man. And the guy behind him ain't no slouch. He may be too. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. So, it's just set up, man.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest thing is this is your chance. You're not going to have, you know, a lot of times where you have, you know, a number of teams that are going to be replacing as much as they are. You know, Georgia is truly replacing their entire offense except for the wide receiver position. So, you know, this is your time. This is where, you know, you guys having, you know, almost zero staff turnover over the last couple of years, being able to really get together and work together and build off each other. You know, I think, you know, keeping Todd Grantham was huge, not only for keeping him and, you know, the development that he has and the trust that, you know, the players have in him, but it's also keeping guys like Christian Robinson on staff. And, you know, you never know if a guy like David Turner might go as well. You know, David Turner was Football Scoop's defensive line coach of the year. So, you know, potentially not losing those guys, plus, you know, potentially losing like a Brian Johnson becoming an offensive coordinator, whatever it might be. That's huge for staff continuity. I'll give a shout out to Nick Delatorre from Gator Country. He wrote an article that talks about how Clemson, with their very, very, very limited, you know, staff turnover over the first, you know, 6-7 years of Dabo Swinney's tenure there, is the reason why Clemson really was able to build a program. So, you know, I'm excited about the future of this team.
Yeah, it's key, man. Todd Grantham had a top 10 defense. You just got to need that guy coming back, especially with the athletes he's recruiting, guys that he's bringing in for his scheme. It's only going to get better. That top 10 is only going to get better once he gets his guys on campus, man. But when you win it big, attendance is big. You got some attendance
for sure.
News?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's an article that SI put out, and it talked about all of the issues that are facing, you know, average attendance, you know, and how it's declining across college football. And, you know, for most of the FBS, it looks like it fell from 2014 to 2018, it fell by 7.6%. And I think that that's a discussion maybe we can have in the offseason, or what are some ways that you improve that game day experience. Silk, I know that you're often up in the Champions Club, and Black, you're often on the sideline there, but maybe for the rest of the folks that are in between there, how we can improve the stadium experience. But shout out to the Florida Gators, who were one of the only teams in college football to have their attendance raised last year in the 2019 season. It raised up about 2,000 fans per game. So Dan Mullen, when he got hired, talked about how you have to win the swamp every week. And, you know, I know Black, I want to hear your opinion on this as well. But, you know, being there, you know, being loud, you know, being in your seat right around kickoff time, all that's going to be huge. But for Florida, you know, having, you know, almost 85,000 people in the stadium is huge. And it's great to see, you know, fans coming back in and seeing a great product, because, you know, we've talked about it. It's unbelievable to watch, you know, sports from the comfort of your own home. But to go up to Gainesville, which isn't close for a lot of people, to go up there and have, you know, nearly 85,000 people a week is a huge testament to what Dan Mullen's been able to do, because it was falling bad. It was falling really, really bad before that.
Yeah, things on the up and up. Yeah, and before you mentioned it, but David Turner was named Football Scoop's D-line coach of the year. So shout out to Coach Turner, man. Killing on the trail, killing on the field. Big things, man. A lot of people wasn't too excited about that hype, but it turned out to be hot.
Yeah, no, I think there were so many question marks about who he was and, you know, what his past, you know, pedigree was. But he's come in. He's a guy that a bunch of the players love and continue to shout him out. He's a gem, and he's those guys that you need to find when you are a head coach and you do have a, you know, coach kind of unexpectedly leave. Landing a guy like David Turner has obviously been huge, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he's able to do with this defensive line going into year three, his second year, but Dan Mullen's third year.
We have 15 early enrollees step on campus, and they're working out with the team. Guys that just signed, freshmen. Who's your favorite guy of the other guys? Who are you looking forward to seeing in spring practice?
Here, I can read them all off to you, because there's a couple transfers in there, including Pouncey from Texas and Lingard. So you have Josh Braun, offensive lineman. You have Jeremy Crenshaw from – let's see. He came from Emu Plains in New South Wales, Australia. He's our punter. Lamar Goods, defensive lineman, offensive lineman, Richie Leonard, running back, Lorenzo Lingard, defensive back, Ethan Pouncey, his brother, the transfer from Texas, wide receiver, Jordan Pouncey, linebacker, Antoine Powell, QB, Anthony Richardson, DB, Rashard Torrance, DB, Jahari Rogers, and offensive lineman, Isaiah Walker. It looks like there's maybe a potential, a few other guys, maybe some walk-ons preferred walk-ons, and Noah Keeter, who transferred from UCLA, former three-star guy that was going to be a preferred walk-on from Florida, got a full ride to UCLA, stuck it out there with Chip Kelly for a semester and said, I'm out. And so he's back. Hayden Knighton, who's an offensive lineman, and then Nick Sessa, who's a kicker. So a lot of names, but Black, who are you most excited about?
Man. I just want to see. I want to see these Pouncey boys, man, and you know they got a lot of hype when they decided to come to Florida. So you know I'm a Lakeland guy with the original Pouncey brothers. So I just want to see you know what these guys can bring to and help us with our depth in the secondary as well as our depth in the receiver room. I think a lot of people have questions about the receiver room. So I just want to see how those guys come out and compete. You know, and you know, for these guys to be able to come to school early and be early enrollees, that's something special. I mean, those guys took care of their business in the classroom, as well as on the field. I was an early enrollee. It was super cool to be able to come to college in the middle of a school year somewhat. You know, and it was just like the icing on my cake. You know, it was I went to school for all these years, and now I'm finally in college, and I got to do a tad bit early because I took care of everything I needed to in the classroom. So overall, I'm excited for all of these guys, but I'm ready to see the Pouncey boys.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brun. I think that's going to be somebody that's going to play in the fall. I think he could potentially take a starting job. I think a lot of those positions are going to be up for grab. I think Isaiah Walker probably has a higher ceiling of the guys coming in the trenches, but ready to play right now. I think Brun is physically ready to do some things, and he gets to lift weights early. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
He's huge. I think he's like 6'6", 356, or 346, whatever Florida put on their roster. Incredible size. I'm excited to see where he comes and goes in his career. I think the player, and you guys mentioned some good ones there, I think I'm going to go with Jahari Rogers just because I think of the players that are coming onto campus, he's raw at the position, but so uber talented, has great speed, has great ability to move on the ball. We saw that in the Under Armour game. So I'm excited to see where he goes. I think that he's going to be a truly good part of this defensive backfield moving forward and carrying that DBU logo on his back.
Already. We got a big guest this week. Before we get to him, Guest of the Week is brought to you by Brun Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the keys, holler at my man Greg, 954-589-2204. Big policies, auto, home, life. Hit my man Greg up. Who we got, Daniel?
We got Matt Dendecker, who's one of the Gator greats, outfielder, known for his web gems, got featured on ESPN a bunch of times, got to play in the major leagues for a number of years with the Mets, the Nationals, the Tigers, the Mets again, and then he was signed with the Marlins for a little bit. And now he's going to be a volunteer coach, is my understanding, with the University of Florida baseball team this year. He also happened to be my best friend in kindergarten and first grade. So let's get
I see you from the crib. I see you
already. Coral Springs represented.
Yeah, I see.
So we'll get him on, talk to him about his time in Florida, what you know, his experience in the major leagues, and what he's up to now. Cam, dial him up.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
And joining us for the first time, and actually the first baseball guest that we've ever had on Stadium and Gale, is former Gator center fielder Matt Dendecker. I played in the major leagues for a few years. But Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. And you know, I guess about time to get a baseball player on the show. So I'm happy to be on with you guys.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, you and I have known each other since we were about 5 years old over there at Coral Springs Christian School. But, you know, I moved after first grade to a different school. We kind of lost touch there for a bit, but you ultimately ended up at UF and at the same time as me and obviously Ahmad as well. But talk to us a little bit about your story and how you ended up at the University of Florida.
Yeah, for sure. So, like I said, started at a young age in South Florida, Coral Springs Christian, went there for a few years, actually left came back there for middle school, and then went to high school in Fort Lauderdale, a small Christian school, to Westminster Academy, where I wasn't highly recruited at high school. I was kind of doing a two-way thing. I was pitching and playing outfield, and I think that kind of kept me from getting looks as an outfielder. That's what I wanted to do at the next level in college. I wanted to be an outfielder and hit and all that. But, you know, I ended up getting some looks at from smaller schools. And then my cousin, who was a pitcher at the same high school as me, signed to go to Florida. And the recruiting coordinator at the time was always watching him come and watching pitch. And like, who's that? Who's the center fielder out there? He's like, oh, that's my cousin. Cousin Matt. And so I ended up talking to Ross Jones, who was the recruiting coordinator at the time. And he's like, yeah, come up to the camp. And so I did that, came up to the camp in Gainesville over the winter before my senior season started. And they liked this all. So I got a small scholarship to start. And it's kind of cool. I just, you know, earned my way on the team each year, kind of getting better each year, improving. And, you know, my senior year, I think I got the most scholarship that I've had in my 4 years I was here. So it kind of, nothing was really given to me in college. I kind of enjoy that kind of, you know, playing that kind of way where you have something to prove. And that made it fun for me as well, going along my college career.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you a lot more about your college career here a little bit later, but you ultimately ended up getting drafted in what, the fifth round by the Mets. Talk to us a little bit about your experience in the major leagues, because you had, you know, a relatively long career, what, you know, 7-8 years in the major leagues. So talk to us a little bit about what that experience was like.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Obviously anybody getting drafted, that's their goal, to get to the major leagues. And I think baseball's, it's tough because a lot of people just see, you know, the major leagues and all these guys getting paid millions of dollars. But what a lot of people don't see is the guys that are in the lower levels of the minor leagues. It's definitely a grind to get to the major leagues. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you know, preparation, and you obviously got to go out there and perform. So, I played with the Mets got drafted in 2010, played with them for 3 years, and 2013, I got called up for the first time to the big leagues. You know, just, it was everything that I dreamed of as a kid growing up. You know, I would go to baseball games all the time down in South Florida, watching the Marlins, and just dreaming of that moment. And, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you about the day my first game. I was, you know, probably so nervous. I can't remember anything from it. You know, you walk into the stadium, you see these places that you've seen on TV, and it's just kind of a dream come true at the time. But after those feelings kind of go away, you know, the next toughest thing about baseball is, you know, staying in the major league. So you got to work hard. You got to, you know, perform to stay in the major leagues, because there's, you know, another 30 guys in AAA behind you trying to take your spot. So that's part of the thing too, is you got to first of all get there, but then the hardest part is, you know, staying there. And I think for me, I had some flashes of playing well, but I think I never really performed how I'd like to, you know, really solidify myself as an everyday big league player. But, you know, I can't complain. I was up and down in the big leagues for, I think, 7 years. So I can't complain with how things turned out, and enjoying my time back now in Gainesville.
Absolutely. So tell us, and then we'll kind of, you know, intertwine your story in there. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing now in Gainesville.
Yeah. So, my last year playing professionally, I wasn't signed by a team, and I decided to go play independent ball to see if I could, you know, get looks at and maybe get signed by an affiliated team. But after months out there grinding in the independent leagues, I knew it was time to hanging out. I got a family. I got a 2-year-old son and my wife. We're all here together now. And, you know, I talked to Kevin O'Sullivan, who's the coach at Florida. And I was like, hey, I'm coming back to Gainesville to take my classes. And he was like, hey, you want to come and be a student assistant? They've had, you know, a few guys come back and do that in the past. And I was like, that sounds great. You know I've always wanted to stay around the game. I think, you know, just being fresh out of the game, I think this is the best opportunity for me to, you know, get into the college level of coaching while I finish my my degree. So, you know, I had a, you know, just a little bit over a semester of school left. So I think, you know, being back here in Gainesville and, you know, getting some experience coaching. I mean, if I hate it after a year, it's a perfect opportunity to, you know, say I gave it a shot and move on to the next chapter. But so far, I'm enjoying it and enjoying being around the guys here in Gainesville.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So let's go back to your time in Gainesville. What are some of your favorite memories or maybe a play that you had that sticks out in your career?
Yeah. So after my junior season, I was drafted by the Pirates, and we had lost in the Super Regionals, like, you know, one step away from Omaha going to the College World Series. And I didn't have a great year at all my junior year. So I thought long and hard about it. I stayed actually in Gainesville and worked out here and decided to eventually just come back to school and finish out my senior season, you know, just with the guys that I played with for 4 years. So at the end of the season, we ended up breaking through and making it to Omaha. We beat Miami in the Super Regionals, which made it even sweeter. So I think that would probably be my top moment, just, you know, finally getting through, going to the College World Series. You know, doing it with the group of guys that we had here, you know, guys that I still talk to 10 years later. So that's probably something that sticks out to me the most.
I got you. And then, you know, I know some of these other, you know, guys have questions as well, but what do you owe, you know, the difference, you know, when Kevin O'Sullivan got hired, because he wasn't the head coach your freshman year, mm-hmm. right?
No, Pat McMahon, Ron yeah. Jones, and Tim Parrington, they were here before, or for 1 year when I was here, they recruited me.
Gotcha. So what was the difference? And, you know, I know Florida made the College World Series in 2005, right before mm-hmm. You came to campus. And then, you know, Florida, you know, had a couple up and down years, and now they're consistently a major player at the national basketball or national baseball scene. What does mm-hmm. Kevin Sullivan do different, and how has he been able to elevate the program so much in, you know, just the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they do a really good job recruiting. They get some good players in here, you know, some of the best in not only the state of Florida, but in the country. But, you know, they do a really, really good job of motivating players and a really good job of developing players. You know, my freshman year, I think I hit like 230, not a great year. And I knew they came in, they basically told me the job was mine to play center field, which not only gave me confidence to go out there and play well, but they also, you know, helped instill like a really good work ethic, a really good program for, you know, developing as a hitter in an outfielder that I think took my game to the next level. So, you know, it was nice to be able to work with them for 3 years and, you know, kind of keep up with the relationship with them. And I know a lot of guys that leave always come back and you know, continue to have that relationship with those guys.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Silk.
What's up, Silk?
Nothing much, man. Hey, what's your opinion on like the way sports is set up now with kids playing little league? It's pretty much year round. Like, I got friends with kids that play baseball and they travel like year round all the time. The kids don't really play other sports. Did you play other sports in high school? And what's your opinion on that as far as like the travel leagues and?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't be more totally against like just playing baseball. I think it's really important for guys and girls and for all kids to play other sports just to develop. I think first as an athlete, you can learn, you know, different skills playing basketball and football. You know, I like playing golf. I think there's different skills that you can learn in all those sports that you can't just learn when you're playing one sport. So I think, you know, being able to develop as an athlete first and then, you know, as you get older, maybe later down the line as a, in high school, junior, senior year, maybe then you would focus on one sport and narrow down what, if you did want to go to the next level, what you'd want to do. So I think, yeah, like at a young age, I think it's crazy. You see these parents dishing out the kind of money they do and the kind of time they spend traveling around the state, around the country for 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. And like, you know, you got great sports leagues in your cities where you can be playing soccer, you can be playing football or whatever, and you know, developing as an athlete.
Absolutely, I agree. You was at UF at a time where it was great athletes on playing basketball, winning national championships, football, winning national championships.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite to watch? Like, who's your favorite athlete out of everybody that was on campus?
Oh man, I was definitely here during some good years. You know, I went to a ton of basketball games. I loved watching Corey Brewer play basketball here when I was here. I went to all the football games. I would say, man, it's tough to pick one guy, but I mean, obviously everybody says Tebow just because what he did, but I think Percy Harvin, the plays that he made. I think that offense was just so good to watch, and so they could do something at any moment of the game. So I would say Percy Harvin, probably from the football team, and Corey Brewer from the basketball team.
Nice. And did you guys, as a baseball team, watching those two win championships, did you guys feel a little lost in the sauce?
For sure, man. I think we had a young team when I came here. After my freshman year, we had a pretty young team. My sophomore year, we were young. And, we saw the success of the football and the basketball. And I think that just drove us to be better. And I think it did, because my freshman year, we didn't even make a regional. We didn't make the playoffs. And then my sophomore year, we went to a regional, junior year, super regional. And then my senior year to the College World Series. So we improved every year. We got better every year. And I think, just the culture here in Gainesville, you see other teams winning. I think you feed off that as a team.
Yo, it's Ahmad Black. So, we talked a little bit about, kids playing other different sports and whatnot. What other sports did you play besides baseball?
Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned that. So, early in high school, I played basketball through my freshman year in middle school. And my freshman
did you play
year,
with Dan?
No, I did not. We only went to school together for, I think, first grade was our last year.
Yeah.
I was saying, and PE, though. Was he coordinated in PE?
Nah, I bet.
Did they pick him last?
Damn,
you guys are idiots.
He was a stud. He was a stud back then, man.
Yeah, still I am. That's right.
What's the
your check's in the mail, Matt. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I played. I played basketball for a few years. I played golf through my sophomore year in high school, and I still enjoy playing those sports. It's, there's the competitiveness in those, and I'll go to the gym here in Gainesville and play some basketball just to, get the competitive juices going. And, same with golf. I go out with my buddies and we get after on the golf course, just the competition like that, how athletes are. You're going to get out there and you want to win. So I think you play different sports and you learn how to win in different ways. You learn how to develop in different ways.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you, Mods talked about this on the show as well. What is it like, spending your entire, life from the time that you were, 4 or 5 years old when you first started to play T-ball, all the way up into last season when you're playing professional baseball? What's it like to no longer, have to go through that grind or no longer, play it, have to play at that professional level mindset wise? And how do you deal with, the first couple months and, first year after it's done.
Yeah, it's definitely a transition. I'm still going through it right now. I think, being around the game still has helped, but it's something I miss a lot. Miss going out there and playing. I think a lot of it is just missing, like being around my teammates, being around that camaraderie of, working together for a goal. But, the first couple months after I got done, I got home and I'm just like, what do I do for the whole day? So I knew I had to get ready for classes in the fall, but I was home in June. So I had about 3 months to figure out. So I had a part-time job. I was doing like lessons with baseball, but I just, have a lot more free time. And you got to find stuff to do. So I think, having a family here with the support was huge. I think, having a little 2-year-old son running around kept me busy. A lot of those things kept me busy, but I can see how easy it is for someone that doesn't have those things to get out of a sport career and have a difficult time transitioning. But it's a work in progress. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with my life after after baseball, but you know, I'm excited for it.
Well, definitely, we know we're gonna go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was gonna change the topic completely.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, after baseball or after football, whatever the sport may be, when you play at a high level, even when you don't play at a high level, you know, even as kids, we develop these skills that'll be with us for the rest of our lives, and that's one of the pros of playing sport is we learn sportsmanship. Some of us do. we learn how to be on a team and teamwork and things of that nature. And that goes a long way in life. So regardless of if we play at a high level or if we just play in little league or high school or whatever the case may be, I think we all learn necessary tools to help us out through our life.
For sure, no doubt.
Matt, I had a couple friends of mine and, just some folks I grew up with, end up playing minor league baseball. And, minor league baseball is definitely a very different grind than I think that most people ever have to deal with in their lives. But also probably a place that you have a lot of cool stories where you travel by bus and do all that kind of fun stuff, spend a lot of time close together. Any interesting stories from your time in the minor leagues or anything that you want to share?
Yeah, I have one story that I usually tell when people ask about like minor league and the bus story. So, I was in AAA in, I think it was 2012, my first year up in AAA. We were in Buffalo, New York, traveling to Pawtucket, Rhode Island. That's where it was. Yeah. Well, it was about a five-hour trip, and we're halfway there. And it's the middle of the night. It's probably midnight. We had a night game. And we get off the bus to get some food at a rest area. I think it was a McDonald's there. And I wasn't hungry. I decided to go to the bathroom and take my time in the bathroom. And I'm like, I got at least 10 minutes to, use the bathroom before they're all done at McDonald's. So I take my time up 4 or 5 minutes, come out, everybody's gone. So I'm like, dang, that was fast. They got their food. McDonald's was quick, got their food. And I get out to the parking lot, the bus is gone. And I have no idea where I'm at. I did have my wallet with me. I left that on the bus. I looked down at my phone and I had 1% battery on my phone. So I'm like, this is dead. They got to be messed with me. It's got to be a joke. So I call one of my buddies on the bus. I'm like, where are you guys at? He's like, what do you mean? We're on the bus. So apparently the McDonald's, it was like 2 a.m. They didn't want to serve a full team of baseball guys at 2 a.m. I guess they didn't have enough staff on hand. And everybody had gotten back on the bus and just taken off. So they were 3 or 4 minutes down the road. I think it was a dark, like 2-lane road. And I'm like, I'm at the rest stop. You guys left me here. And my phone's about to die. So I'm freaking out a little bit. I'm like the young guy on the team, just got called up from AA. And they're like, all right, just start running down the road. Like, run down the road. There's no lights or anything. So I start jogging down the road. I probably ran like a mile and the bus started backing up because they couldn't turn around on the 2-lane road. So I ended up catching up to the bus about, a mile down the road and had a good story to tell after.
Damn, man. Damn. It's that time. You want to learn a little bit about this team. Preseason ranked top 15. You're going to be probably starting practice here pretty soon, right? Or I know that they did a little bit of fall practice as well. I know the NCAA allows that now. What can we expect out of this team for this season?
Yeah, so we'll start start spring practice here in a couple weeks. We had a really nice fall. The offense swung the bat really well, and I was surprised, how well we pitched. We got a fairly young team. I think we only have one senior position player. Maybe two senior position players and then a few pitchers that are seniors. But for the majority of our team, we're going to have some sophomores and juniors that can contribute mostly. But from what I saw in the fall, if we can keep up swinging the bats how we did, we're going to have a really, really good season. Last year, the question marks were the pitching struggle down the stretch and in big games. But I think we're going to have some guys step up. That came with a lot of these guys have another year under their belt of experience. So the freshmen and sophomores from last year. Now they're going to be juniors and sophomores. So I think they'll grow, they'll get better. And I think that we'll have a really good season.
That's awesome, man. And then we're a couple seasons away from that new baseball field. How excited are you guys for that?
Yeah, that's right. Next year it's going to be the first year at the stadium. It'll be off, close to the softball stadium. It'll be all in the same area as softball. And I think lacrosse is over there too. And it looks amazing from what I've seen so far. So it's been long overdue to get that new stadium done. With all the success that baseball's had, I think they deserve that.
How crazy is it that when you went to school with Tebow, now he's playing baseball for the Mets? How crazy is that?
It's pretty cool, man. I actually, my last year playing with the Mets in 2018, he was there with the Mets as well. So it was cool to be able to, talk to him about, some Gator stuff and see how he was adjusting to the game. I know people kind of give him a hard time about going to play baseball. He's not playing well, but people don't remember he hadn't played baseball since high school. I think just being able to jump in and go play minor league baseball with some of the best players, in the country, in the world. And he's had some success. I think he's still got some work to do. I think he missed out on a ton of reps from, the years that he didn't play. So I think he's still catching up on those.
Do you think he ends up getting a shot and playing in MLB?
I think he's still got a lot left to prove. He's close. He's in AAA. He had some success at AA, some flashes there. I think this will be a big year for him. I think if he can come out and prove that he's made steps, I think he could get a shot up in the big leagues. But I think that's the big question mark. If he can go out and prove that he can, hit the highest level under the big leagues in AAA, hit those pitchers, you got to be successful and you got to dominate those pitchers before you're going to get a chance to go up and get a chance in the big leagues.
And so, Matt, what was the mood around the team when a guy like Tebow comes on board, hasn't, played, organized baseball since high school, automatically, joins the team and then all of a sudden, has all this fanfare, maybe is getting promoted a little bit quicker than some of the other guys or peers that may have some better numbers or whatnot. How does the team take that? And was the team pretty receptive to a guy like him, being on the team, or do they view him as a distraction, or kind of what's the mood around the team when Tebow's there?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, guys were pretty receptive to him being there. Nobody really, was negative about him being there or thought their spot was getting taken. I think maybe guys that were outside of the team that were maybe free agents kind of would question that, but within the team, I think everybody was positive and, wanted to try to help him out to get better. And I think there wasn't really anything negative going on about him. I think, obviously you get all the fans and everything. I just, I think it's just kind of cool how many people would come out to support him. And obviously he's always swamped with, people trying to get autographs and all that. So a lot of us would just sneak by and not have to worry about signing anything.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. So last two questions kind of related just because you played for both teams. One, the Nationals won the World Series this year. So any of the guys that you played with there, have you talked to any of them or what was that experience like for them?
Yeah, I talked to a few of the guys and it was awesome to watch them. Actually, my hitting coach that I played for in AAA was promoted this past year to the assistant hitting coach. And I was, I was happy for him to be able to finally get to the big leagues and coach, but also to win a World Series up there so quickly was pretty cool for him. But, it's really cool now when I watch the games. It's tough for me to watch a game when I don't, know guys playing, but to be able to watch the Nationals with guys that I kind of came up with, Trey Turner, Michael Taylor, and a few of those guys that I played with in AAA and in the big leagues, see them succeed and see them do well, especially in the biggest stage of the World Series. It's really cool to watch.
That's awesome, man. And I guess my final question, and it's a guy that you played with as well, talk about succeeding on the highest stage, Pete Alonso this year, home run derby champion, rookie of the year. What does Pete owe, you know, unbelievable season two, and you know, what's going through his head, and how was that first year in the bigs for him?
Yeah, it was unbelievable to watch. He's obviously a tremendous hitter, just really good hitter. But I think the thing that kind of separates him is his ability to like shut off thinking and just go up there and stick to what he does best and hit a baseball. Baseball, a lot of times you get in your own head and you start thinking and you do some little thing wrong here and there and it'll really screw you up. But I think he has a really, besides his physical aspects of the game, he does a really good job mentally of preparing himself and, you know, kind of getting out of his head and not letting things affect him. And that helps a lot, like from going into longer slumps or struggling at certain times. So I think he does a good job at that, and you know, hopefully he'll keep a level headed and continue to have that success.
I love it, man. Well, Matt, hey. Thanks so much. Oh, go ahead. So,
hey, Matt, let me get one more. Matt, I had a conversation on this other podcast that I do, Big Three Roll Up. We had a conversation about Barry Bonds and the steroid area. What's your opinion about those guys eventually getting in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're getting the Hall of Fame anytime soon. I actually was talking about this with a buddy the other day. I don't really know all about the failed test, but I think the part that frustrates me, and I'm sure other players, is like when guys blatantly cheat, when they blatantly try to hide the things they're taking. I think A-Rod got busted for that. I think he blatantly tried to cut corners and take steroids. I know back in the steroid era, a ton of guys were doing it. I'm sure a ton of guys that weren't even, caught. So it's tough to point fingers, obviously, because he's the best player in the game. But, you know, I think when guys blatantly cheat, I think those guys should be banned. But, eventually they may have a special spot in the Hall of Fame for that era of guys. But I think you got to look at the guys that blatantly try to go bend the rules and try to better themselves and, you know, keep those guys out.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I appreciate you, man. Mm-hmm. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah,
man.
No problem.
Hey, Matt, tell everybody where they can find you, follow you on Instagram, Twitter, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I think it's just Matt Bendecker, and Twitter, it's Upper Decker. Go check it out. I'll try to post them on some stuff on there from Gainesville so you guys can see what's going on here in the Gator Nation.
Absolutely, Matt. Well, I'm
definitely coming
to
a baseball game this year. Definitely pulling up to a baseball game.
We're definitely pulling up. I live in Gainesville, so I'm definitely going to come to a few this year.
Yeah, we're going to do it tomorrow.
See you guys out there.
I'm there.
For sure.
Already.
All right, Matt. We'll see you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Matt Dendecker.
Matt, hey, Matt's the only guy that ever vouched for Dan athletically. That's why you brought him on, bro.
Yep, that's right.
That's the reason.
After all these years of slander. I might have been five years old, but.
Better make sure you send it in the mail, Dan.
Say what?
You better make sure you send a check in the mail.
Yeah, I got to make sure the check clears, too, you know. We'll move some things around. It's good to get a different voice on. You know, we don't talk a lot about the other sports. We've been purposefully avoiding one sport that's happening right now. But we don't talk a lot about, track and field and baseball and softball and those sports as much. And so it's good to get those voices on. You know, we had Stacey Nelson on, probably 6-8 weeks ago now. We had Grant Holloway on last week and then Matt Dendecker this week. We want to try to make this as well-rounded of a show as possible. So,
definitely on the interviews. Yeah, we want to hang out anybody that's putting this logo on, man. Let's do it.
Sure.
Amai, you got the word of the week for the people and for Daniel?
Daniel, it's going to sound crazy, but, the word of the week is fried, Dan.
It's fried.
Yeah, he's fried.
This could go like last week.
Yeah, this could go last week. So, fried can either mean like tired and just beat and just ready to go home, just relax. Fried can probably mean under the influence of some illegal drugs, Those are my two guesses.
I gotta be illegal drugs, Dan. I mean, some people can be on legal drugs and they have prescriptions for stuff, Dan. You know,
sure, but they're probably not taking the recommended dosage. So,
you're right about that, bro. That's you go. Okay, if you fried in the hood, if somebody say you fried, Dan, I mean, you mean you're under the influence or something.
Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard that before. Not about me, per se, but just in general in my life. So.
Yeah.
This one's better than last week.
We're getting better. It did.
It's progress. Progress is key, all right?
That's right. I appreciate that, Amon.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, man, before we get into this recruiting talk, man, shout out to the good folks at Gator Kicks. Enter your Gator drip, shoes, joggers, tees. Holler the good folks at the Gator Kicks. They're on Instagram, thegatorkicks.com. They're also on Twitter. Holler at them. Customize your J's, your Air Force Ones, whatever you need. Recruiting talk. This is my favorite segment.
My favorite part.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody's favorite.
Around here, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was
my favorite part.
Yeah, you get. I mean, this is your PTO. You get the vibe. It's all good. We got a segment coming for you right after this cycle ends. But yeah, we got to commit. We got some visits through a recap. Dan, take it from the top.
All right. So, starting with 2021, Florida got a commitment from a running back from Palmetto High School. I think on some sites he's ranked as a 3-star. I think on a few others he's not yet ranked. 5'9", 177-pound speedster. He's the 9th commit of this class. Exciting player. Like him a lot. I know that there's a couple players at Palmetto that Florida's after. So get a guy like him. You know, Florida's obviously real high on him. Different kind of running back than the guys that they've had. You know, in the past under Dan Mullen, at least. Well, you know, over the last 10 years, that, you know, are different kind of running back that Florida's had over the last 10 years, kind of that speedster type of guy. But, you know, guy that has a ton of speed and you know, we'll be good to see, you know, how he fits into this offense. But, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on this show is, you know, really wanting Florida to make sure that not only are they getting those, you know, top skill players from height and size, but also make sure that they're trying to capitalize on that speed piece. And Brashard Smith from Palmetto High School is definitely a big guy that fits that mold. Don't know a ton about him, but, you know, excited to see what he does his senior year.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Ahmad talked about it behind the scenes before like this happened. Like we're getting big physical guys and all that stuff. We're big and physical now, and especially in the skills positions, but we need some speed. And this guy is electric with the ball in his hands. We got a lot of speed, a different maker. Then like you say, he's different to everybody we got in our running back room, man. So great get.
I don't think people realize, you know, the whole basis of our team when Urban was here was speed, and everything was built around speed. And we had speed everywhere except at the strong safety spot. I mean, you don't talk about him. You know, that, he wasn't that fast. Everybody else around him was extremely fast. We had speed all the way across the board. You know, and that's that. You know, that was the deal breaker. Sometime, man, we were just way faster than everybody. And on top of that, you know, we played hard. So when you play hard, you play fast with fast guys, great things happen for you.
Visit updates.
Sorry, I was on mute there. And for those that are wondering, yes, he does have an Alabama offer. You know, kid is going to be good because I know that's the first question. You know, the kid is, you know, like we were just talking about, just a different type of guy. You know, I see Florida absolutely pairing him with, you know, a more traditional running back that, you know, you're used to seeing Florida get, your Naquan Wrights, your Damian Pierce's, those kind of guys. But to get a guy like him that teams need to, you know, make sure that they can, you know, add, you know, an extra person out there to protect the edges and who knows, you know, what that opens up on the field. I'm excited to see a guy like him in Dan Mullen's offense.
Likewise, brethren. Likewise.
But that's where we're at with 2021. 2020, we're, you know, what, 3 weeks away from National Signing Day. So we've got a couple big ones. you know, I know a lot of people on this show and on Twitter have wondered about Justin Shorter. He did announce that in 2 weeks he's going to be visiting Florida officially on the 24th. We talked about him not enrolling until the summer, but he is going to take his official visit on the 24th. And I think that as long as Florida wants him, you know, they can get him on that that 24th visit. What do you guys think about that, or any update on your end, Silk?
No update from my end. Just pretty much the visit set up. So, I mean, likely he's going to make a decision of where he's going to go pretty soon here.
Yeah, I don't know if he set up any other visits. I know he talked about setting up some other visits, but, you know, he's been in Gainesville. He was in Gainesville, you know, by himself when other coaches were there. So, you know, five-star kid.
Yeah, if we get him, we get him. I'm a little right. at ease with the wide receiver position, especially after getting Xavier Henderson in the fold. He would be a great add, no doubt, man. But I'm just like not as desperate right now. So it's one I'm gonna keep an eye out on, but I'm not in panic mode about it at all.
Absolutely. And so then he's gonna join Leonard Manuel, who's committed but also dropped the top four the other day, and he's gonna sign on April 1st is my understanding, Silk.
Correct.
So that might depend on who he might be allowed to sign with, depending on how academics are squared away there. But, you know, he is going to officially visit on the 24th, and Florida's not going to bring him in on an official visit. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think he can official visit without taking a test.
Okay. So it's there tentatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be surprised if he visited without taking the test. It's just not how University of Florida works. You have to have a test score to take a visit.
Yeah, so, especially after last season, right? I mean, Florida, you know, who didn't get five players in that they signed. I think they're going to be as cautious as they can be and make sure that they're using the resources the best that they can.
Yep.
Cool. Who else is visiting on the 24th? Avante Williams, cousin of, I'm not sure if it's real cousin or play cousin. I think real cousin of Lorenzo Lingard, but he'll be there on the 24th.
Dad, is white people cousin or black people cousin, Dad?
Can say that, Amon.
Because, you know, black people, they ain't really cousins, but they just... You know,
cousins, yeah.
We just grew up together, so, you know, we cousins.
Yeah. No, those are play cousins. We got real cousins, too, Dan. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We got a bunch of real cousins, too, Dan, but it's a bunch of...
Ahmad's making it seem like every black person grew up as a single child with no brothers and sisters with children. He's at least cousins, we'll put that in quotes, with Lorenzo Lingard. He did cancel the 31st official visit to Ole Miss, but it looks like he's going to replace that with a visit to Georgia. Silk, is there anything that you can share on the Avante Williams side of things other than I know Florida feels confident with him?
Yeah, I just know they feel confident. He has a relationship with Rat. He has a relationship with Lorenzo Lingard. I think he wants to stay. I think being close to home, he has kids. So I think all that kind of is weighing in our favor, man. I like us.
Cool.
Who else we got on the 24th?
Yeah, and then on the 24th, we have the running back Clayton that goes to the same high school as Van Pran, who we're going to talk about here in a second, running back out of Louisiana. Silk, what can you talk to us about him, Ashad Clayton?
Shaw Clayton, I think he's a guy I take in this class. I'm not extremely high on. He's a decent back. He's not elite. I think he's good at a lot of things. He's coming off an injury, so I think he lost some kind of buzz on the trail after he got injured. So some teams trying to see if he bounced back. He's a solid get if that's a guy we decide to take. He's teammates with Cedric Van Pre, like you said. But it'll be a solid get, but it won't be anything. Like, I think Jahmyr Gibbs and even if we get into the Zach Evans sweepstakes, I think those are the elite backs that are available left.
Right. And how would you rank that? Would you do Zach Evans, then Gibbs, then Clayton? Or I know that you're really high on Gibbs. Would you put Gibbs, Evans, Clayton? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Evans is definitely one. Gibbs, two. Clayton, three. That'd be my pecking order right now.
And then is there anything that you want to share? And I know that you and I were texting yesterday morning a little bit about it. Is there anything you want to share on that? Or is it just all too fresh right now for us to talk more about Zach Evans other than, hey, we'll wait and see what kind of happens over the next couple of days?
I heard that we were snooping our nose in there trying to see what interest is and possibly set up a recruiting visit, man, official visit. Possibly maybe for the 31st, that date with Van Prey, possibly. Then you get two Georgia guys in the fold. That would be interesting, man. Nothing solid. It's been like some smoke behind the scenes, man. We'll see if it materializes.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, that didn't follow Zach Evans, I think he's the number one or number two running back prospect in the country, had signed a NLI with Georgia. Had decided to back out from that. There's some discussion of Texas A&M. He's a guy from Texas, but I also know that Florida's trying to get involved there. So getting a guy like him is a game changer at that position. So no matter what you do, you get a guy like him on. I like Ashad Clayton. He's committed to Clemson or to Colorado right now. Pardon me. Not the fastest guy in the world.
The guy that's committed to Clemson, Dan, is Bowman.
Yeah. No, I meant to Colorado. He's got some decent size. I think that he's a guy that you can have sit, you know, a year or two behind, you know, a few more of the proven backs that Florida has. You know, if Florida's going down there, you know, who knows? I think that he can be a quality starter, you know, for Florida, or at least, you know, couple with somebody else, you know, in the future, maybe with a guy like Breshard Smith, and they bounce back off of each other pretty well in terms of their strengths and weaknesses with each other. And then the last one that we're going to talk about is Van Pran. He is the teammate of Ashad Clayton. So Cedric Van Pran, four-star guy out of Louisiana, is committed to Georgia, still did not sign his offer letter. An early LOI for Georgia. So he's going to be coming on January 31st. So you have to like Florida's chances to potentially flip a Cedric Van Pran. So what can you tell us about him? He's kind of a name that's popped up over the last probably 2 or 3 weeks. So
yeah, Cedric Van Pran has been a name. He's been continually saying that there's interest in us, and he's been talking to us, and we're recruiting him hard. I've been hearing for a while to expect him to set up a visit. He did set up that visit, man. So it's mutual interest, man. It will be a huge get, man, to flip two Georgia offensive linemen and also get a transfer from them and five-star Brenton Cox. And then maybe if we get into Zach Evans, I mean, you can get that many kids from Georgia in one cycle, and Kirby's supposed to be this recruiting guru. And that would be very impressive, man. And I think you start to see a turn in this thing. I think you're seeing a little bit of momentum shift in this whole rivalry between us on the trail and on the field, man. We'll see what's up. But I feel good.
Absolutely.
Another thing, too, before we move on from the running back thing, it's interesting to note that, DeMarcus Bowman. And there's some still smoke about him maybe not qualifying. He has to he can't early enroll or some change with his status with Clemson. So there's some smoke about him getting a better test score. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, man. It's going to be interesting.
And it looks like I missed a couple of names as well. Just texted somebody. Got a few more names of folks that might be here on the 24th. And again, this is what we're going to talk about today. It's January 12th. You're going to listen to this on January 14th. Who knows? Everything could change between the 14th and the 15th.
This tomorrow, Dan. Yeah. I got to listen to this Monday. Yeah, because we talked about the game. We don't want to play Tuesday. Yeah.
Good point. So you guys are going to listen to this on the 13th. So with that being said, this could completely change by the next day. But Princely Umanmielen from Manor, Texas. Sorry if I butchered your name. Strong side defensive end was really, really close with Baylor and Matt Rhule. With Matt Rhule going to the Carolina Panthers, it looks like Florida's chances of potentially bringing a guy like him on board are there. He's slated to visit on the 24th if Florida has room. You know, Florida's really got has a limited number of spots. So if you can get a guy like him, great. I think it all just depends on kind of how the rest of this room shakes out. Then you have DeMarcus Beckwith from Florence, Alabama. we talked about him on the last show. We were impressed with him in the national or in the All-Star games as well. He comes in as an athlete, would probably play that that Pitts position for Florida. But those are two guys. And then Jahmyr Gibbs right now is slated for the 24th. I believe he's still committed to Georgia Tech, so we'll see there. And then Avery Helm, who's a cornerback that's already committed to Florida. He's going to be visiting on the 24th as well.
And D. Beckwith is a guy that I like a lot. I think he's going to be, once he gets here and get into the system and be a full-time football player, I think he's going to be a great receiver in that Kyle Pitts mode as well. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's one we got room for and we can fit him into this class somewhere. I know numbers is getting tight, but I hope we figure out the space for him.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's a great player, and I give a shout out to Andrew Spivey. He called him out, and I know that you did too. So probably a year and a half ago. So good eye on talent there, and you know Florida's been there for a long time, and as long as there's spots and as long as there's room, I think that Florida's relationship with them could potentially getting a 3-star guy like DeMarcus or D. Beckwith, pardon me, is. He's better than I think that star ranking indicates, but I think that he's going to be a guy that works hard and fits perfectly into that position that Kyle Pitts is playing. And you'll get a guy like him on campus and you keep that continuity of positions, which is, something that Dan Mullen wants. He kind of wants these guys that can, transition from, a Kyle Pitts to a D back with a Percy Harvin to that Chris Rainey, Jeff Demps type, right? Like those guys that you can have mold in kind of that position so you don't have to completely change the offense every year and you can have somebody to study under the tutelage of, a couple of years before you're ready to take that on your shoulder. So, a couple big weeks for Florida on recruiting.
Absolutely, man. Things are getting hot on the trail, man. Shout out to the coaches and the staff. Everybody's getting busy. Got a little bit. Any dandy facts before we get out of here?
It's my birthday next Monday. So with that being said, I don't have any, Florida Gator dandy facts. I am
crazy. Does it got to do anything?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But that is a dandy fact that I'm turning 32. And when you're listening to this, a week from that. But my dandy fact would be you can go to my Twitter page. I'm raising money for the V Foundation. Do it every year for my birthday. We're up to about $750. I'm trying to raise money for cancer research. So that's my dandy fact. And it's a shameless plug because, well, it's my time to shine. So,
hey, man, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, Dan.
Well, that's right. That's right. Man, good show.
Good show, man. I enjoyed myself tonight.
Oh, man. Hanging out.
I got this song this week, man. I'm going to take us out with some Cam. You ready? Take me out of here with some Big Crit every time.
Is that C-R-I-T, Big Crit? Like no, Big Critter?
K-R-I-T, Crit. Yeah.
Crit. Okay.
Mississippi Big Brethren.
Crit. Ah, very good.
Already.
See you guys next week.
Let's go.
Yo.
A good show, fellas.
That was a good show.
Same corner next week, fellas.
Be there, be square. Be there, be square. Get out of here, bro. All right, man.
Be there, be square.
You probably won't believe. I've seen the land in all the seven seas. It's plain to see.
Three pointer in the corner, Ray Allen, I'm on it. Floater off the back, with LeBron in a moment. Griffey at the plate, I ball with the fam. I'm Vince Carter in Toronto, I'm good for a slam. AI with the practice, I'm born with the gift. Michael Jordan with the tears when he got to a chip. Tommy Smith and John Carlos, I'm raising a fist. Gold chain, gold rings, no medal for this. Life's an uphill battle, no pedal for this. Closed curtain, when a circle, I'll settle for this. Throw me a parade. Roses at my feet, champagne I can taste. I am just a winner that my parents made. Closer with the mojo, you can't clock the pace. Floyd with the belts, too much for the waist. I'm Ali, I fight for freedom till I beat the case. Every time.
boat and I'm racing myself. Formula One speed, I'm chasing myself. Swinging for the fences, diving for the inches. I did it for the chip, never for the mentions. Friday night lights when I'm on a mission. The finish line, my witness when I go the distance. Strive, break a record before I break my neck. Pride means nothing till you get respect. Time is a buzzer being shot when the ball's in my court and I look up at the clock. Swish, go the net, Steph Curry like. Serena with the racket, how I'm serving life. Trophies on the way, trophies on the way. Endurance for my soul, cardio the faith. If I compete with me, there's no second place. If I compete with me, there's no loss to take. Every time.
Every time. I dream of all the things that I can be. And there's some things you probably won't believe. I've seen the land and all the seven seas. Plain to see. Every time.